Father God, we just thank you for who you are and all that you've done for us. We thank you, Jesus, for being obedient to the Father and all that you provided through your death on the cross. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, here today. We look to you to be our teacher, to give me the words that you want me to say. And we thank you in advance for all that you're going to do. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. I'd like to start by just sharing briefly something about myself. Normally I don't talk about myself too much, but I don't know. I think all of you know that those of us who wind up, God puts us up here, we're just like you. We have days too. It's actually kind of funny. I was sharing with a couple of them outside. I don't have a wife, so I have to dress myself, okay, in the morning. And I try to be somewhat dressed the way, a proper way in church, okay. And so this will give you a little idea of my morning at this point in time and why it's so important that the Holy Spirit teaches you this morning and not me, okay. I get up and go, okay, I know what I'm going to wear. So I iron the front of my shirt. Now, I've told this on myself to a few people. When I wear a suit jacket, I don't bother ironing the sleeves or the back because no one's ever going to see it. Okay? So this is the shortcut. You just iron the front, but you'll notice I don't have the suit jacket on. It's still at my house. Okay? And I got up, and so the suit jacket's brown. So it shouldn't go with black shoes and a black belt. Well, not luckily, I have a reversible belt, so I just flipped it around because I had it on wrong. And then I had the black shoes on. I thought, okay, I'll just live with the black shoes. But then I left my house with the black shoes on and realized I left my computer, which my teaching's on, at my house too. So when I went back to get my computer, I got my white shoes that went with the white shirt. And so it's just actually been kind of comical for me looking at my day, and I'm going, Holy Spirit, you really need to be here today because I don't want to try to do this any other way because it's not going to work this morning. And it really doesn't work the right way any morning. If you're relying on yourself to do this, it's not going to work out well. And so I'm trusting in God, and I know he's faithful to his word, that he'll make sure he gets to you what he wants to get to you in spite of me. How's that? I did want to open with something that really is not part of the teaching, but you will see over the next several weeks that it fits in. And I've actually only been here once out of the last, I think, 8 weeks. I popped in for a Sunday after my trip to Tanzania and shared about that trip. And many of you have heard about that trip from that morning, but ongoing, because we've been able to play some audio text and for me to relay information to Donna about what's going on that has been shared with you. And it's so exciting to me, having been there, and I hopefully you're excited too, about seeing what God is doing. To me, sometimes I think in our own lives, well, we just kind of go through the motions, or we can, and we might not see too much. Well, part of that's, I won't say part, that's really our problem and fault, because if we're looking, we'd be seeing God doing things all the time. All I can say is when God has me go there, I almost don't have to look for it because it's just right in my face. It's happening so much. But I did want to share a couple of things. I got to talk to the Marabellas yesterday, and they shared three things with me, which two of them I'll share, and one is actually a prayer point this morning. So I shared with you that, and the prayer point first, that near the end of our trip when we went into the Ngorongoro crater, that we were stopped by a government representative on the way out, and then at the gate we were told we would never be able to go in again. They have finally been able to have a meeting with someone, and in that meeting they met with a man who basically could tell they'd been put on some sort of list, which I'm probably on too since I was in the car and they took the vehicle and they took down all of our names. And this man told them that because you're on this list, you're a target now. And he highly recommended that they get out of the place they were staying, and that I was staying with him when I was there, and come to the hotel that he was supervising. This man is actually government official who has a second job, and that is running this hotel. And he said, for your own safety, you need to get out of where you're at and get in here. Because we have armed guards that stand out in front of the hotel with machine guns. Okay. For those of you who've traveled with Pastor Bill and heard some of his stories about what it's like in Africa, they're kind of saying, you need that going on here for you. You need someone to protect you now, especially that you're on this list. Okay. We had several things happen to us earlier in the trip that let us know that the people of the area were aware of us and they were doing things to try to stop God doing what he was going to do through us. And one that I hadn't shared when I was here before was when, I don't think I shared this, is when they went to go into the Wasabi the Wednesday after I left, they basically had their gas cap stolen, which they're, because of all the dirt and dust in the air, without that gas cap, your car is going to fail very quickly. And it was literally stolen, and they have a good idea by who, and it would have been someone at the place we were staying, because it's inside of a walled area. And so there were really only maybe three people that had the opportunity to take that. And they knew what we were doing and what they were doing. And so that disappeared. So the man said, get out of there, come stay at this hotel. What I didn't know until they shared yesterday was they were trying to set up an appointment with a government official, and they knew it was this gentleman running this hotel, but they'd never met him before, and he had never, of course, then met them. So they tried setting up an appointment one day, and he said he would be there, and they sat for hours, and he never showed up. So they arranged another appointment on another day, and they went, and he didn't show up when he was supposed to show up. And then about, after waiting well past that, Steve's saying to Donna, well, let's just go. He's not going to show up. And Donna said, nope, we're just going to sit here and stay. And that's what they did. She said, let's just enjoy this. It was really nice at the hotel. And so they stayed, and they're just sitting there. And after quite some time, this man comes walking by and sees them. And then he notices how they're dressed, and in particular, Steve's ear, which has been pierced in a way that only the Maasai do. Literally about half the ear gets removed, so you can put all sorts of things in there. Steve calls the Maasai the Bling Tribe, and they have, the men and the women have all this jewelry in their ears around their necks. And the man stopped, and he goes, Maasai? Because that's how they dress, and everyone knows them. Donna had the Maasai necklaces that they make and are very easy to see that it's Maasai. And so he walks over, and it turns out this is the man who they're supposed to meet with, only he was just going about and more or less had blown them off until he then seen them sitting there. And so by waiting, they were able to have this meeting. He wound up meeting with them for about 2 hours. And as it turns out, he's Maasai. Okay? He's one who had left the crater, because many of them have over time. And he's grown to the position where he's like number two as far as who people answer to in the Maasai. In fact, as they talked things through, he found out that he's from the village that neighbors the one that the church in the well is at. And that 8 years ago, it was him that had to approve them putting the well in at that location. And so they're very familiar with each other. They call them clans, because it's almost like a whole family group lives in a village, and then the next village would be a different clan with all these other families. And it's the neighbor, he's from the neighboring clan/village. And all I can say is that through this, God has arranged some things. They can't get back into the crater right away, but he said, we'll work on this and have things arranged for you to go back in next year. So that's his goal, their goal. Now, the prayer point is there. Every 2 years, you have to apply for a residency. So it's not like you become a resident and you're a resident for life. There, if you're from another nation, you apply for 2 years. Well, theirs is up now. And saying that is, so far, Steve's never had a problem. His has always been approved. Donna has actually had hers rejected a couple of times. And in so doing, she's been able to arrange it. You can get where you can go in for like 3 months. And so she could go in for 3 months and then have to apply again and get in for 3 months until ultimately then she was accepted for the 2-year thing. So they've applied. They'll be leaving within about the next month to come home for their term that they're back in the United States. And so they're filing now so they can get their approval so that when they it's time to go back next year, they both can get in. So if you'd be praying for the two of them, that this gets approved by the government, and so that they're able to get back in and establish residency for the next 2 years. So that's a prayer point for the church. Okay? So there was a praise. There's someone in the government, very high, who's working on their behalf to try to straighten out the problems. But we do need to have prayer for them for this. So I wanted to start with that because I know you're all behind them in prayer. And to me, that's so important for me when I'm there and for them all the time. They would not see the success we do without the prayers that you're taking up to God. And I can tell you that when I'm there, I can feel those prayers. I mean, I know they're happening and I can see God moving in ways that I go, people are praying for me and praying for us. And I don't know to say that it gives you a confidence that you wouldn't otherwise have, but just knowing it gives you, I don't know, an extra push or whatever. There's just something about it, knowing there's people back here praying. It's been that way in my whole life. I have some people that pray for me every day, and I greatly appreciate them. And so when people ask me, what can you do? I don't say, well, do this, do this. I just say, pray. To me, that's the most important thing you can be doing for me and for the Marabellas. Be praying. Because I happen to believe that God listens to his children's prayer and then does something about it when he hears them. It's just me and the way I look. Hopefully, all of you feel the same way about your prayers. He's hearing them. He's doing them. So I want you lifting up prayers for when and wherever I go, but especially for the Marabellas. They're there all the time. So that's just kind of an opening that really fits, but you may not see how it fits with everything that I'm going to share over the next several weeks. So to me, this was interesting. I came back from this trip, and God put on my heart to, I knew I was going to go visit my sister and brother-in-law. I hadn't seen them only one other time during this year since New Year's, so I kind of had that planned as soon as I got back from the trip to go share with them about my trip and to spend some time with them, because literally, I have one sister, one brother-in-law. That's my only family. Both of my parents are dead. I don't know children, so that's my family. So I wanted to go spend some time with them, and my brother-in-law is a pastor, and I know that when I go there, typically the first thing I hit their door, he says, do you want to share Sunday morning? So I share about half the time. Sometimes I know I enjoy listening to someone else teach and preach as much as I like speaking and teaching, okay? So sometimes I listen to him. Sometimes God says, okay, you're to share. So I knew this time I was to share, and I shared pretty much what I shared with you here on that one Sunday. Then when people heard what I shared there, the women of the church said, we want to hear more. And they have a women's meeting once a month on Wednesday nights, and I was still going to be there. So they said, we want you to come Wednesday night and share more, which to me, that's just fun and exciting. So I got to do that. And now the rest of this wasn't planned. It's amazing to me to watch how God moves. Pastor Bill, I was talking to him on the phone as I was driving out to my sister's house. And he says, you know, what you shared, other people need to hear this, not just this church. This church is behind you, but people need to hear what God's doing around the world, because a lot of people aren't getting this. It's not part of their church. It's not what they focus on. And as a result, they're missing out on some things. And so he encouraged me. In fact, he had to encourage me, because if he hadn't, I wouldn't have done it. How many of you know sometimes we get set in our ways? Okay? And God has always kind of put in me, and we're all wired differently, is I never call anyone to say, hey, I'd like to share at your church. Okay? That's just, to me, not how it's done. Pastor Bill goes, call them. Tell them you have something to share. And I'm like, this just goes against my grain, okay? personally inside of me, okay? But I was obedient. And so I called Brian Rohr, Pastor Brian Rohr, who is the day-to-day pastor of the church that Pastor Bob Hawk started in Titusville, PA. And I presented this to him. He said, sure, we'd love to have you on Tuesday night. Their midweek service is on Tuesday night. So I attended the church on Sunday. They had already arranged another speaker, Brian's father, on Sunday morning. So I got to hear him speak on Sunday morning. And then came back and taught on Tuesday night. And then, once again, me... Do any of you ever argue with God? It's not a good idea. I would say I was arguing as much as just trying not to do what he was trying to press upon me to do. And because it's about this same thing. For 2 or 3 days, God had been saying, well, you should go back to the Chicago area and meet the people that you were part of their church of for about four years. And I'm like, no, I'm not calling them. And it literally got to the point he wouldn't quit bugging me. I guess that's the way I would put it. And it's actually good that God will be like that. When he says, you should do this, and you don't, he comes back and goes, I said you should do this. And he won't even stop two times, because I think it was 3 or 4 different times. Go, no, that's not what I'm going to do. I don't do that. And so finally I called, and it turns out that my best friend in that church and the pastor were together in a car. And when I explained that I don't do this, but here I am doing it, he says, oh, this is great. It's perfect timing. We need you right here, right now, to share what you're talking about. This is God. And I'm like, whew, that's so good. So they were excited, and God had already prepared them. They wanted me here, and they explained why it was the perfect time and what they were, you know, what had been going on in the church. Then I got excited because, once again, how about I put this? You do know God knows what he's doing, right? But when you see it happen and play out the way he says that it's going to play out, to me, I just go, well, that's kind of fun to see, okay? So I got to share there as well. And part of this conversation with Pastor Billy said, I'd like you to share for several weeks. Will you do that? And I just said, yes. And all I can say is that's not normally me with most things. I want to know, okay, what's the time frame? What are the expectations? Let me pray about it, and I'll get back to you. And for some reason, every once in a while, yes just comes out. And I go, what did I do now? Have any of you ever done that, where yes just comes out? All I can say is I quite see that as God, too. I just said yes, and then we got to talk a second time, because when he asked me that, he says, well, what I'd like you to do is share, he didn't say a time frame, but in these teachings on Sunday mornings, the teaching portion of the service, and just kind of left it at that. And I said, yes. Then we talked a little bit later. And at that time, when he asked me, I said, well, I really don't have anything that God's impressing upon me to share during this time. I can tell you that within about 24 hours, I knew what I was to share about. But then we talked later. Pastor Bill called me back and he said, so what's God been showing you that you should share? And I told him, and he says, oh, that's perfect fit. Make sure you tie this in with this. So how many of you have actually looked at the bulletin? Don't look at it now if you haven't, because I'm going to have a question for you. Have you looked to see what this series is about? How many of you have actually looked and seen that there's a little one sentence on the bulletin that says, here's the series? Okay, none of you have. That's good. Oh, Shane has. Okay. Now, there's a reason, because I have a question to ask you. And it'll be coming up shortly. Because it's a question that I could not have answered up until about 2 months ago. Okay? So don't look if you haven't looked yet. I know you might be tempted. Don't do it. So then he says, I think based on what you're telling me that you're going to be teaching for like the next 8 weeks. Now, all I can tell you is when I heard that, I'm going, 8 weeks. I think I could talk for 2 or 3 about this. And then... over time, God's settled to me, well, teach through, let's say, the time up until Christmas time when you'll be gone. And then I looked at how many Sundays I was going to be here. Guess how many there was? 8, because I'll be missing for Thanksgiving. But there's literally exactly 8. I'm like, okay. So it's 8. And all I can tell you is, do I have all 8 teachings laid out? No. Okay? But I do know where God is leading me to go, okay? And that's what's in that little phrase down there. I actually shared it with someone, and I asked them if they saw the connection. And, when I say someone, Dale Armstrong, we were talking on the phone. And immediately, once I told him one of the things, and he started in his head quoting the scripture, and he goes, oh, right there in the first phrase, I can see the tie-in to that one. And there's another tie-in. So the 3 things all go together, only I had never really seen them as all going together. I think sometimes when we're reading our Bibles, we look at the word and we look at specific verses and we see one thing and we look at it as isolated. But do you know there's no confusion in the whole Word of God? It really all goes together. In fact, if you're seeing something and it doesn't seem to fit with everything else, you're probably just not seeing it right. Or you don't know everything else that the Word says about it so that you can see that it does fit. Okay? So it didn't surprise me that all of this fits in some way. I had just never really seen the connections of these things together. So I said all that to kind of start this series of teachings. Now, what I'd like to say is, I never, ever have taught based on someone else's book /and/or teachings. Now, I do read other books because I happen to believe that I'm not the only one that hears from God and knows everything. Okay? So there are things that God has shown other people through His Spirit about the Word of God. And so in reading those, oftentimes I will read them so that... probably the main reason I read them is they bring to my mind things that I've never considered before. That's one of the things I like about it. And then because of the way God has made me, when I see something that I haven't really considered before, my next step is, what does the Word of God have to say about it? Not necessarily what the book's saying about it. I read that, but what I want to know is, what does the Word of God say about what the author in the book is saying about this? Does it line up with the Word? Or is there more to what's being said? Or is it really not, is the author not really saying what the Word of God says? Because you can find all 3 cases, okay? And so I'm not here to break down any books and or talk disparagingly about something that someone has said in a book that that's really not quite right. I'll give you the name of 2 books. And one of these books, Donna gave me the title of and said, you should read this, because it was a book that was helping her, okay? And she was talking to me and she was saying, you know, in the middle of what I've been going through, and by her, meaning what Pastor Bill and her have been going through with his health, she was looking to remain in joy going through what she was going through. And she found this book called The Surprising Power of Joy. It's by Roland Wharton. I don't know if she's recommended this to any of you, if you've read it. So she gave me this title and I read it. And then a short time later, once Pastor Bill got back out of the hospital, I came to church one of the Sundays that he was here, and he handed me a book and he said, here, God's put on my heart to give this to you because you should read this. And it is the book called The Assignment by Mike Murdoch. So what I will tell you is, I have read both of those books. And when I read them, I didn't read them with the idea that I would be reading them to create teachings. Okay? I just read them. Donna said, you should read this. Pastor Bill said, you should read this. And I did. And then I was preparing for my trip to Tanzania, and God started doing things. And what I found was, is there were some connections between these two books. Now, these authors didn't make these connections. God was making them and showing them to me. And then a third connection as well. And that's why when you do look at your bulletins and you see it, you'll see three things put together. And the third one you're going to know soon because I'm going to ask you the question, okay, that I've been telling you about. So what I will do is, as I share over the next 8 weeks, know that some of what I'm sharing is based on the readings that I did. And by based on, say for example, from the book, The Surprising Power of Joy, the author made a statement and then he listed some things about joy that someone should consider, someone should think about. And let me rephrase that. Consider and think about is two different things. You can think about anything as long as you want and nothing ever happens. Right? I can think about something all day and not do it. Consider means to think about with the intention to act. It takes it an extra step. Okay? This means, yeah, I'm considering this, and if God says I should do this, then I should do this. There's a consideration rather than just a thinking. And so when I read that, I go, well, this is a good way to set up an outline for part of my teaching. So I use that from his book, just as kind of like to set up an outline. Not to say what he said, but for God to show me in his word about the parts that he was discussing. And to me, it was like, oh, this makes this much easier. I like having things organized. And so I pulled that out of the book. I will say that there will be a couple of other things that I'll reference from the book. I probably won't mention again unless I make a direct quote. If I say this is from the book, I'll let you know. When it's God's giving it to me to share, you'll never hear. I will say when I read things, sometimes I won't know if it's from the book or not because it's in there, and sometimes it'll come out. But if I know if I quote it, I'll let you know. How many of you read the book? I'm just curious. Okay, one of you. Okay. I would recommend it. Now, what I will say is, actually, both of the books, very good. The one on joy, I will say, there was one part in particular that caused me some distress, I guess I would put it. And we'll get to that somewhat later, but basically, the author did a great job of explaining what joy really is in a biblical sense. And then he spent the next chapter giving you examples, and he said, and this is joy. Except for he had just explained that wasn't joy. And he went and spent the whole next chapter going, well, this is joy. And I'm like, now, wait a minute. You're really confusing me here. So once again, not speaking disparagingly, but I think you'll see he really had it laid out and explained it as good as anyone I'd ever heard explain it. Then his examples just weren't the best, is all I will say. Okay? So, if you read it, keep that in mind. I'm sure the Holy Spirit would show you too, and there may be other things that he would show you as you read through it. I don't read books to be critical of them, but you need to have discernment is this truth or is it not? It's a book, it's not the Bible. Okay? It's not the inspired Word of God. Okay? But we can read them because it will help us. So as I went through these books, God kept pointing out, well, here's something that the people could use, that I could use and that you could use. In talking to Dale Armstrong, one of the things he said that God has always had him do is when he spends his time with God, he has always had, because he's in a pulpit a lot, God has always had him separate, okay, this is from God for me. This is from God for the church. Okay? Now, he says, he told me, always make sure and keep that separate. And I've heard this from him. I've known Dale for at least 35 years. And he has taught me many things over the years. But what I did say to him when he mentioned that again to me in our recent conversation was, sometimes the two are one and the same. Okay? And he said, but still protect that as your quiet time. Make sure you're giving time for both. But then when God does say, okay, I'm showing this for you, but the rest of the church needs to hear it too at the same time. And I will tell you, this is where I got the encouragement and direction from Pastor Bill. Because when I shared with Pastor Bill what God was revealing to me, he said, you need to share that with the church. And by that church meaning, we're all the church, but he meant specifically here. Okay? So I'm sharing this based on his direction as well. And I happen to believe that he hears from God. Okay? So I don't need God to tell me that's what I should do if he's telling Pastor Bill that's what he should do. I believe he's hearing from God. And he says, that's what the church, you need to hear. Okay? So that excited me too. God had been showing me this, but then when I shared it, he goes, yep, that's it. And he did say, well, include this too. And the include this too is where we're starting today. Because it is part of it. So what's funny is when I was here for the one time, after my trip to Tanzania, I don't know if you were to look back and listen to the sharing that I did about that trip, you probably heard me say the word, I'm just having fun. And I had no other way to explain it. That some people, several places I went, people would go, well, thank you for your obedience. And I'm going, obedience? This is not obedience. Obedience is when a parent tells a child to do something and they don't want to and they do it anyhow. I am having the time of my life. This is just plain fun. And I tried to explain to people how much fun, I'll put that in quotes, I was having. And I couldn't do it. And guess where I found how to explain it? Anyone have a guess? In God's Word. Okay. So, I'm literally, I was trying so hard and I couldn't explain it. So I'll have you turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 and look at verses 6 through 8. And when I read this, I just had to start laughing. Okay? Give you a second to get there. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 6 through 8. Now, I will be reading and quoting from the New King James Version the whole time. That's just the version of the Bible God has had me do my studies in. If I use a different version, I will let you know. So for those of you who have electronic devices, you can pull up that version to follow directly along with me. If you have a preferred translation, then use that. So 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 8 says this, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. I was trying to figure out how to say, I'm just plain full of joy. And have been since, I'll say, the week before I left on my trip. I jokingly would tell Kevin Burrows, who I've shared with several people, when I see the word joy written anywhere in the word or whatever, I see a picture of Kevin's face in the dictionary beside it. I see Kevin. Any of you that know him, how would I put this? You cannot be around him for about more than 5 minutes and not see that he just walks in joy at all times. It's like, the definition's right there. And so when he and I would get together, he would say, you know, I wish I walked in the same peace that you walk in. And I go, well, I'd like to walk in the same joy that you do. And guess what? Now I do. So now my picture's there too. Not that I've arrived, but I can tell you God has showed me some things and walked me through some things that now, even though I can't explain it real good, but that's what I'm going to be working on the next 8 weeks. It says it's inexpressible joy, and then God says, okay, now tell them about this. I'm going, wait a minute. It says it's inexpressible. Okay? So he's going to have to show me because I'm walking in inexpressible joy. And I can't stop. And here's the good part. I don't want to. So now, if you're around me, you may think, oh, he's just too full of joy. Hopefully that's not the case. You never get there. I love being around Kevin. In fact, I would much rather be around someone who is full of joy than someone who is not full of joy. So hopefully I don't irritate you being as joyful as I am, because I just can't stop being joyful, and I don't want to. So hopefully you all would like the same thing, and we'll explain why it's so important, and it is actually a good thing to desire. I shouldn't say that. Not that you need to desire joy, because here's part of the main part of the teaching. If you're born of God and you're his child, you already have it. Okay? And it's one of the keys. You have it. The key is, are you accessing it? Which would then enable you to walk in it all the time. It's always there. So I've gained, literally, this is one of the keys to the whole teaching. You have it. We'll go back and look at some verses. So it's available to you at all times. The key is, are you accessing it and therefore walking in it as God would desire you to walk in it? And so what he has shown me is some of those keys to accessing it so that you can walk in it. The first step is, though, you have to realize that you already have it. If you don't, how can you say, oh, it's there, I can use this to live my life the way God wants me to? So the starting point is, you have to know you already have joy. Okay? We'll talk about part of the reason that this is so important. The Bible says that we are to let our lights shine in this world. Now, I only share this way with people that I know love me. I wouldn't do this to people I didn't know. So what I like to tell people, I'll share with people about the importance of walking in joy, and they'll go, I walk in joy. And I'll say, almost like, have you ever heard of a stink face? Or you could think of other faces, you know? And I'm going, so I can say this, I go, you might want to tell your face sometime. If you want your light to shine, seriously, people can't see what's in you if you don't let it out. And oftentimes they can only see in the physical. The joy's in there, but you have to let them see, because why would they come up to you, Mr. Stinkface, and say, I want what you've got? Who wants that? Or what's behind that? But if you're full of joy and you're letting it out so that others can see, you may not even have to open your mouth. They're just going to say, what do you have that I don't have? There's something different about you. What is it? And then it leads you into the opportunity to share with them what you have through Christ. So I can jokingly say that you might want to let your face know once in a while with people I know who love me. You can see why you might want to do that, not want to do that with someone you don't know. It might not go over so well, okay? But I know I can do that here. So what we're going to do over the next several weeks is to share what God has and is continuing to reveal to me specifically about joy. And this is only one of the three things that is on the list of the three things that we're going to share about. But they all tie in to joy. Okay. And initially, you may not see the connection in any of them. So I'm excited because of what God is revealing to me so that I can share it with you. I can actually tell you exactly when I first started walking in this joy to the extent that I am today, and hope never ends. And that is about 1 week before I left on my trip to Tanzania. And so my time is wrapping up today, so this is a good place to end, and then we'll lead in to more scripture verses and digging into this in detail going forward. But I'll share this part. And I don't know if I shared this when I was here for that 1 week after my trip to Tanzania. But it's a good place to set the setting for what God started showing me. About 1 month before the trip I was making to Tanzania, God gave me a vision. I was awake. Can I say I have these all the time? No, it's very rare. What I did was I saw myself sitting in a room, a big room, one room, and I was praying. Okay? And I knew there was someone else in the room with me, and we were praying. I knew instantly that it was in Tanzania, and that's what I was supposed to be doing at least some point in time while I was there. Well, then, God, on this trip, was so gracious to me. He showed me in advance what I was supposed to be sharing while I was there. I really like that, because that's just the way I'm wired, okay? And so I started preparing the teachings that I was going to be sharing while I was there. And then it came to the week before I was going to leave, and God said, and here is the final teaching that I want you to do. And as I was going through this teaching, preparing for it, God was showing me things. And now, don't turn here, because you'll see the answer to the question, because we're going to end with the question today. And he took me to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Now, how many of you have ever been taught, I should put it this way, think in your mind, if you could even put a number on it, how many times you've been taught about putting on the full armor of God? Most of you more than once, right? Okay? Same with me. But I can tell you that in my mind, either I missed it or else it wasn't taught. All I remember from all those teachings are from verses 10 through 17. Because in 17, you put on the last two pieces of the armor. Don't look at 18 yet, or else you'll see the answer to the question. You may be tempted to. So I was taught verses 10 through 17. And in 17, you put on the last two pieces of the armor. You take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. End. That's what in my mind, every teaching I ever heard about it, well, you've put on the whole armor of God, so that's where the teaching ends. These teachings were always great. I learned a lot about putting on the whole armor of God. But what God showed me, he told me, look at 6:10 through 18. So, what's the first word in verse 18? Praying. So, what do you do once you've put on the full armor of God? You pray. In other words, that full armor of God, putting it on, I think in my mind, and in many people have talked to me, it seemed like that the focus was, it is getting ready for battle, but it's getting ready for a specific type of battle, and this battle is done in prayer. Okay? So when you put on this full armor, know that the thing you do once you put that full armor on is pray. And we'll get into that verse in more detail, because it shows you how you're to pray, who you're to be praying for, and what comes before it enables you to do this in the way that God would have you do it. If you don't do everything the way that he's laid out in verses 10 through 17, you will be unable to pray as successfully as God would have you pray in verse 18 if you haven't done 10 through 17. So that's where we're going to start next week. Hopefully that gets some of you excited about what God's going to share about this. I know, as even though I'd heard these teachings many times, as God took me through this, I just saw more and more and more, and I got more excited and more excited. How many of you, sometimes you read the Word of God and go, when did he put that in there? Because the first 100 times I read it, it wasn't there. And I can tell you that in going through this, I started seeing things that I'd never seen before. And so I'm excited to have the opportunity to share this with you. Maybe you've already seen it, and I'm the only one who is dense enough not to see it before. But if you haven't, I think you'll get excited too. So I'd like to close this morning, and then we'll have a little break before we get the preaching of the word and praise and worship. There'll be more about that in connection to joy later on too. In case you don't know yet, there is a connection between praise and joy as well. I'm guessing Randy knows about that. But it will be something that gets shared later on down the road. And there are many other connections that can be made directly to joy. And that's part of what God is wants me to help you see these connections and how they work together and how God's word says they work together. So, Father God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that you lead us, that our steps are ordered. You show us the truth of your word so that we are able to walk the way that you would have us walk. We thank you in advance for all that you're doing now and are going to do. In Jesus' precious name, amen.